All right, we're going to go back east and bring in the gentleman who is the creator of the USA Today Baseball Weekly, and I love talking ball with him, and that is Paul White. Paul, how are you?
Great, Marty. Happy opening day.
Yeah, happy opening day. As crazy as it was, the home runs are flying out of the parks. Nobody's hitting. You got the walks, the strikeouts, and then you got Scherzer and DeGrom in maybe one of the best pitching matchups of the year, and it lived up to it.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of those in the National League East this year. I'm just fascinated with that division. I mean, you can make an argument that the four best teams in the league are in that division. I mean, there's certainly, I mean, the Dodgers and the Cardinals and the Cubs and the Brewers are, you know, the National League's got a lot of solid teams, but everybody except the Marlins in the East is loaded up, and there's so much pitching. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, and Robinson Cano gets his first at-bat as a Met and takes Scherzer out, and turned out to be the big run in the game.
Yeah, it did, and, you know, they thought they had another one today with Syndergaard and Strasburg, but the Mets are just pummeling the Nets. They really tore up the bullpen. The Nets thought they'd really, and they have, they created a much deeper bullpen, but Trevor Rosenthal, who hasn't pitched almost 2 years, came in today and got torched late, and Wilson Ramos, the former Net, is having a huge day against them today.
Well, do they miss Bryce Harper?
You know, I don't think so. The two kids, Soto and Victor Robles, have been great. They've been the best guys in the offense so far this year. And you know, I think deep down, long term, that's what the Nationals are kind of counting on, especially if they can get Anthony Rendon signed up long term, that maybe they have a little bit more balanced offense. Their defense is better. Their outfield defense is much better without Harper, especially if Adam Eaton can stay healthy and be the top of the order the guy in the center fielder. They're going to be an interesting team. They did an awful lot of real good things. I mean, you know, Harper's a great player, but he's a guy that everything revolves around. And I think now they have a team where there isn't a guy everything revolves around. They may be better off for it.
Well, we'll see. Big night coming up Tuesday night. Are the Phillies coming in, right?
Yes,
even Mad Dog is going to be there. He's complaining that he can't get Harper on. He said, I can't even get Harper on the show. He got stuck with the commissioner. But big night Tuesday night, right? The Phillies come into Washington.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be fun. And there's been a lot of talk, you know, early season, midweek games. You know, they don't sell a ton of tickets. That the Phillies fans, who've done this in the past when the Phillies were winning, are trying to fill up the ballpark in Washington. They're trying to gobble up the tickets. It's going to be interesting to see what the mix is.
Well, this is good for baseball. Let's face it, baseball's got a market. It's a big issue for, you know, reaching out to a younger generation. And Harper, it really, I think, fills the bill. And then you see Trout, who got, what, 400 million. I don't know how many millions he got. I don't know,
right.
You know, the keys to Fort Knox, whatever it is. But he stayed in Anaheim and in relative obscurity. And I mean, Trout's here in the Bay Area today. The Angels are here. They had 20,000 for opening day and 20,000 yesterday. And he's the best. He's Mickey Mantle. And he decided to stay with the Angels as opposed to going back into that vortex, which I think would have been incredible for baseball to have him back east.
Oh, sure. And, you know, I think there's a couple of things came about. Everybody suddenly thought when Harper signed with the Phillies, aha, here comes Trout because he's a South Jersey guy. He's a big fan of the Philly teams growing up. He's still a big Eagles fan. He comes back and goes to the games. But, you know, I think a couple things came into play. You know, everybody assumes guys want to go back home and play. You talk to athletes, most of them don't. I think it's too much of a distraction to be back where they grew up and playing. You know, you're constantly being hounded by your friends for tickets and, you know, people tugging at you. And was there really room enough for the two marquee guys of at least at the moment of this generation to be on the same roster? It'd almost be better to have them where they're playing each other all the time, but not on the same team. And I don't know if that played into to Trout's decision, but you're right. I mean, even though he's clearly the best player in baseball, Harper sells tickets more than Trout does. I think it's partially because he's played on the East Coast and in the markets where they pay more attention to him. But at the same time, I mean, they proved it when he signed the contract with the Phillies. The number of tickets they sold the first day was amazing. And, you know, that's what Scott Boras touts when he brings a guy like this on the market. We're selling tickets, and that's what you want to do. And he does that, and I'm not sure Trout does it. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, no, Trout doesn't, and Harper's a drama queen. I mean, he's out there, you know, he's out there being dramatic about everything, the way he looks on the field and the way he plays, running into wall. Whatever it is, there's drama in his face every time he comes up to the plate, and I think that's part of it.
And he's a lightning rod. I'll never forget his first season. I remember it was in Houston, and the Nationals were playing there, and I had a scout walk up to me before the game. He says, "You see this team a lot. What do you think of Harper?" And I said, "You know, you talk to the players, and they'll tell you the work ethic is there. They buy into the fact that he shows up and works hard." And the scout said to me, this is a guy I've been around forever, said, "You know, I really, really wanted to hate this guy, and I can't because I watch him play, and I can't."
Yeah, funny. Well, we'll see what happens with Washington. This is going to be interesting. Phillies, obviously, coming in there, and Phillies have a lot of interest. Colorado took care of the Marlins, at least for the first couple of games. The Marlins look as hapless as last year, even though they did get a good game last night from Richard for the Marlins, but it's just not happening for them.
Yeah, they'll get some good pitching. They'll get some great young arms. A kid that's going to bleed.
Hey, right, Lopez?
Pablo Lopez just lights out. And then they'll keep them in games, but you're right. I mean, one guy told me this spring, he said, you know, the National League East is going to be decided on how often each of the other four teams loses to the Marlins. If you can go 19-0 against them, you're good. If you go 16-3, it might cost you the division.
Boy, that's the old days of the Yankees. The Yankees had to beat up on everybody, and that's
right.
Exactly how they did it. Paul, today the Braves are beating the Phillies 3-1. The Braves, I don't want to say under the radar, but they did win. Didn't they win the division last year?
Exactly.
I mean, but
exactly.
No one. Yeah, what's up with the Braves? No one is giving them a chance.
Well, it's funny, you know, their own fans aren't. And then it started out, at the start of the offseason, you know, Alex Anthopoulos got in there, and he was real quick. You know, he brought over Josh Donaldson at the end of last season. Looked like the Braves were going to be aggressive. They were supposedly in on all these guys, and they really didn't do much. And their fans are all over them because they didn't do much. You know, why haven't they gone and gotten Craig Kimbrel yet? And then they show up and start the season with all these great young arms. And you talk about the Marlins arms and the Braves arms. The kid that's pitching today, Bryce Wilson, is a great one. Tuki Toussaint's going to be a great pitcher. They sent him back to the minors. They've just got a string of them. And you're right. They're lurking just back there. And this is a lineup that's really, really good. I mean, I think Freddie Freeman, he's my pick for MVP this year. I think in the middle of that lineup, here's a guy that could be the leader of a pretty good, mostly young lineup.
Boy, very good. Braves up on the Phillies 3-1. That's in the bottom of the second. Wilson is one of those guys, right, Paul? Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bryce Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, one of those guys, Pivetta. And Dansby Swanson has a two-run homer for the Braves in that one. Yeah, the Braves are kind of, no one's talking about the Braves. I kind of like the Mets. And I, you know, it's,
yeah.
I used to say this every year about the Seattle Mariners. I say, this is the year for the Seattle Mariners, and then they would go absolutely nowhere. I do the same thing with the Rockies. And I just feel, you know, with Syndergaard and Wheeler, and you got DeGrom, and you've got some hitting. You got Peter Alonso, you got Conforto. I don't know. These are not the Mets of a few years ago. I think, I hate to say it, but I'm picking the Mets to win that division.
Well, I'll tell you what, especially if that rotation stays healthy and the bullpen is so much better. Edwin Diaz closing for him. Jerry's Familia's back there. He's the eighth inning guy there. A guy who's just under the radar, too. Seth Lugo pitches the middle inning, setting up. You know, you look at his numbers, outstanding. You take the four teams. I mean, Philadelphia's getting all the publicity. They can finish fourth in that division. I think they will. I kind of like the Nationals with a lot of the things they did with Patrick Corbin, Brian Dozier, beefed up their catching with Suzuki and Yan Gomes. I like them in just a great race. If I had to pick them 1, 2, 3, 4, I'd go Washington, Braves, Mets, Phillies, but like I say, those four are easily in the handful of the top half dozen teams in the league.
Oh, National League's got a good races. They do. American League's got three or four teams, and National League's got about 11 teams that could be in it. So National League is a better entertainment value this year, I think. The Brewers, let's go to the Central a little bit.
Yeah.
The Brewers, of course, you know, I don't know how they do it with their pitching, but Knebel, their big relievers, out for the year. Craig Kimbrell is still out there. How are they not thinking about this guy? They need something at the end of the game, and the Brewers can hit. We know that. They've got Lorenzo Cain and Braun, and they've got a good team. But Keuchel, Kimbrell, Paul White, what's going on with these two?
Yeah, I think the Brewers are going to have to do something here because, again, that division, three teams that are really, really good, the Brewers, Cardinals, and Cubs, and the difference in the Central is that the Pirates and Reds are solid. They're not going to contend probably, but they're both the Reds are much improved and the Pirates are always solid. So there's no patsy in that division. But going into this season, we all saw how the Brewers did it last year with that amazing bullpen and they beat them to death. And I was worried about that coming into the season. Could they do that again? Because their starting rotation is going to force them to use that bullpen the way they did last year. Now Knebel's out for the year, as you said. Jeremy Jeffress shows up in spring training and has nothing. He's got no velocity. They've shut him down. They're trying to get him right. I don't know if that's going to work out. All of a sudden, it's Josh Hader and a bunch of guys. And that division's too good. The Cardinals are a whole lot better. We saw what Goldschmidt did last night. He's going to make them so much better. They've got great young arms. The Cubs seem to be on a mission that, okay, we're going to prove that the World Series year was the real Cubs, not last year. And they've got tons of talent, obviously. The Brewers have got to do something in a hurry or they're going to fall behind.
Yeah, Sonny Gray goes today for the Reds. That's going to be interesting there. The Reds are better. There's no question. The Reds are going to give you a tough time, and the Pirates can generally pitch. But a lot of people say the Central is the best division in the National League. I don't see it, but I see the East really as being the best division. Paul, interesting enough, the Giants, and it made me think of this morning when I saw Josh Hader pitch two innings the other day. They got Peralta out, the Brewers, in about the fourth inning yesterday, and the parade of relievers, and eventually they got tattooed at the end of the game. How do the Giants not match up with the Brewers? And Brewers have offense. They've got outfielders all over the place. Giants are dying for an outfielder. Giants have bullpen arms. How do the Giants not match up with the Brewers? I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. I mean, the Brewers at this point have got to be looking around. And of course, this is the time of year. It's the worst possible time of year to try to trade if you need something. Because nobody else is in a hurry to deal with you. And if they think you're desperate, they're going to try and hold you up. And, you know, I'm sure the Brewers, if they asked other teams who might be available, but I'm sure other teams are calling up, hey, we got some guys for you. But the price is probably really, really high right now. And that's where the Brewers have to decide. What price is worse? Do they start dipping into either their surplus of guys? Do they start dipping into the farm system? Or do they just start writing checks for, like you mentioned, Keuchel, Kimbrell? They're in a tough spot because everybody else knows they're getting desperate in a hurry.
Well, you got to have a bullpen today. It's just the reality of it. I think someone said last night, I think it was Mike or Dwayne, I think there were like, I don't know, 1,000 complete games, 40 years ago, and now there's 42. So,
And they thought they had a bullpen, and they're coming into the season. That's the problem with the Brewers. They thought, okay, that's taken care of, and they were can we patch together our rotation? Will Jimmy Nelson be healthy this year? Will some of the younger guys take a step forward? What about Peralta? You know,
Woodruff.
And Davies. Chase Anderson proved to be a mirage, and he's in the bullpen. And I think they felt like they had other things they were going to concentrate on, and all of a sudden, the one place they thought they were really strong now is blowing up in their face, and they've got to scramble.
No, you can't have Hader for two innings, and Lorenzo Cain saved them.
With
an amazing catch in the opener. Let's jump to the West just a little bit. The Padres they've got some players. They really do. Who knows if the starting pitching, but this Andy Green, he's the reason in 2020 a reliever will have to face three batters, because this is here we go, 5 1/3 and start the parade. But there, Tatis is legit. They've got a good team. The Dodgers are hitting home runs like crazy, but they're 1-1. And Arizona, you know, maybe a little bit. I'm not sure yet on them. But Colorado's a solid team.
Yeah, I think it really comes down for this year for the Dodgers and the Rockies. Are the Rockies ready to take the step past the Dodgers? Will the Dodgers? You know, I think what the one thing the Dodgers are going to miss are all their pieces. I mean, you know, people would scoff at Yasiel Puig, Matt Kemp, even Chase Utley. But they were pieces, and the one thing the Dodgers did well, and Dave Roberts has become a master at this, is finding ways to use all those pieces and create victories. Well, they have fewer of those pieces this year. You know, they need other guys to kind of fill in. Can Kike Hernandez play second base almost every day and be productive? Where does Alex Verdugo fit in that sort of outfield mix with all those guys out there with Peterson and Chris Taylor and all the rest of them? They've got to kind of refigure that out. And the same thing with the pitching staff. I mean, obviously, if Kershaw's gone for any length of time, and that just changes the Dodgers completely. But they've got all those pieces, and they've got the resources. And that's the question. If the Rockies show up on opening day with their roster, they're everybody as good as the Dodgers. But will they be able to stay as good as the Dodgers for the entire season? I think it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, a very good division. It's going to be fun, and hopefully the Giants will get the bats going. Hey, great to have you on, Paul White, of course. I love talking ball with you, Paul. We've done this for so many years together, and on special holidays. Of course, there's no Memorial Day game and no July 4th game, so we're going to have to piece around those dates that you and I usually talk to catch up. But we are going to talk tomorrow. And we'll talk American League tomorrow, and we'll see what happens with our game tonight. But I love having you on, and have a good night, and we'll catch up tomorrow.
All right. Sounds great, Marty.
All right. That is Paul White. Boy, he knows his baseball. I could talk to him forever. Good show.